reading two scriptures. There's three in your bulletin, but I'm not missing one because Pastor Chris is going to do one himself. So this is Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 49, and it starts on page 1021. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good trees bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And then from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 on page 1193, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, who joyfully endured the shame and the pain to set us free. We just ask now that you would cause these words and Reverend Chris's message to sink deep into our hearts and to bring results in our lives as we seek to grow and learn and help others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, it was a purple mic. Okay. Well, I turned this one off. I am a person who likes to wander around, but I also keep my notes here so I, because I'm getting old and I can't remember where I'm at. So, in India, there is a cemetery where bodies of American soldiers are buried. And on the entrance of that cemetery, there are words which say, "Tell them we gave our today's for their tomorrows. Tell them we gave our todays for their tomorrows. This is Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day weekend is a time of remembering. It is a time when we remember especially our folks in the military and their sacrifices, those who served, and those who served with them, spouses and children and family. I think we need to add that. I know my wife served a lot for me when I was gone by taking care of the house. And there's so many like that. But we do especially remember those who gave their lives. And I understand there's a ceremony tomorrow out at the cemetery, and there are folks in our church who have been putting out flowers and other things on the graves. So it is a good time. It is a good thing to remember, because we are so prone to forget. But I think Memorial Day is also a time, as Christians, to think about ourselves a little bit and our faith, and remember those who have gone before. We, none of us, arrive here by ourselves. You know, we're so prone to think that our lives are our own and we're independent creatures and we can do it by ourselves, but none of us got here. We just showed up through the work of our parents, so to speak. You can use your imagination on that. And people have lived for generations before us. And when we get here, there are houses and roads and learning and books. And the same is true with our faith. None of us would be here without all these folks on the wall here in this particular place. The legacy that they left for us, and many, many besides. It's good to think about that, and also to begin to think about our own legacy. You see, we all get our turn. We are born, we learn, we live, and what do we leave behind? Because we will all leave something behind. We're all temporary. You know, as an interim pastor, I'm a temp, basically. I've been a full-time pastor for 34 years and served many churches. But in a sense, I was temporary for those churches as well. I left one day. And so whether you're there 1 year or 30 or 15, in Ron's case, Ron has gone on. But we all go on, don't we? Eventually. And that's, for a Christian, that's a good thing. But we need to think about our legacy and what we do leave behind. We read that in Hebrews, the folks who sacrificed. And Jesus says something about how we are to be, leave a legacy. He says two remarkable things. It's hard to believe, actually. He says, you are salt. You and I are salt. And we're light. Really? I thought Jesus was the light. Well, he is. We reflect his light. But he says that about us. Now, if you're like me, I have a lot of smudges, and I don't reflect it very well. And I still need salt poured on me. Not to mention what I put in my food. My wife tells me I shouldn't, but a remarkable thing. Let me read it to you to remind us what he says. He says, you are the salt of the earth in Matthew chapter 5. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, how are we to leave a legacy? Well, I think we need to ask some questions. And one is, how will people remember you? And I think one of the best ways to get at that is to ask another question. What would you want people to say at your funeral? Now, I have had the privilege, it is a privilege, over a 34-year career, I do not know the exact number, but probably 250 to 300 funerals, something like that. My last church, everybody was chronologically blessed, and I did about 75 funerals in 6 years. But it was a privilege. It really is. It's like preaching Easter, I think. But you know what bothers me about funerals? Everybody wants to say something about their loved one. Almost everybody wants to say something. Sometimes you have to beat them off with a stick. There are so many. There are just too many sometimes. But sometimes people don't want that. They can't. But very often, and you know, but what bothers me, and I'm going to be very truthful with you, is that usually people say, Uncle John, he just loved to fish. He was a great fisherman. He was a great golfer. He was a good guy. He was a good father. Or Aunt Jane, or Mom, or Dad. All the good things, we remember them about that. And they're not. That's not bad. Dad built bridges. Dad served this. Mom was a great mom. But so few times do I hear that she was sold out for Jesus Christ. He was so committed in what he did. Now, often they are. And sometimes people are just nervous and they don't remember. And I always remember, if I know them, I always make sure that people hear that. Wouldn't you want somebody to say that about you, though? Wouldn't you want someone to say that? I think that's what we need to be striving for. And I'm not talking about perfection. We're all sinners saved by grace. I like to say, and I mean it, that I'm the worst sinner I know. Because I know Chris really well. And I don't know everything going on in your heart, but the Bible says so. We're all sinners saved by grace. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift of God, always a gift of God. But we are talking about people who shine the light of Jesus. Maybe there was salt in where they were. Ask that question for yourself. What would people say? How would they remember you? And the second thing in leaving a legacy, it means to be salt and light. You know, the world thinks Christians are boring. The world thinks Christians are dull. And some of them are. We've all heard of the Frozen Chosen, Presbyterians. In case you didn't know, that's who we are. I don't believe that, but that's... Or have you heard of the First Church of the Frigidaire? Oh, well, never mind. But Presbyterians can be staid sometimes. But I believe that Presbyterians, because of what Jesus says, we are to be salt. Well, salt in ancient times, of course, gave flavor. In other words, we're to give flavor to a rather tepid world, a very unflavorful world. We're to be jazzy. These people are out partying, and I'm not judging anyone. But Christians are supposed to be the best partiers in the world. Because Jesus is going to throw the biggest one in the universe when we get to heaven. And we're to be light. That's remarkable. It's remarkable. I love what Eugene Peterson says. He says, you are to be the God flavor of the world. I think that's great. Because the world is dark, it is evil, in many ways rotting. We are to be a preservative. We are the ones that God sends into the world to help the world. And then to reflect God's light. Yes, we are smudgy. But God still uses smudged up people, you and me, to be light in the world. And so I would ask, do people know you're a Christian? And if they do, does that help them? Now, there are some people that they'll never get helped. You know, I was a chaplain in the Army. And one of the wonderful things about being a chaplain in the Army is you get to wear a cross on your uniform. So everybody knows who you are. One of the things I didn't like about it was that in Afghanistan, when I was deployed someplace, you had your uniform all the time, and so there was no getting away from it. It is wonderful. And there's a great thing about it in that you are a representative of God in those places. On the other hand, you're a representative of God, whether you feel sick, whether you're in a bad mood, or whether you don't feel particularly spiritual that day, or you've hit your hand or finger with a nail or a hammer and you feel like saying a few words, you're still... So, okay, you're a Christian. You don't have a cross on your uniform, but you're still a Christian. Do people know that? And I'm not talking about being goody-two-shoes. I'm not talking about walking around with your Bible held up or anything. I'm simply saying, do people know? Is your faith, are you stealth Christians, or do people know you're a Christian? Number three, leaving a legacy means making this life count. You know, I really believe that most people are in the junk business. We have so much junk. And we live for junk. We buy junk. We spend most of our time pursuing junk. And some of it looks great. I did a funeral right before I left my last church. It was for a woman that I got to know really, really well. She came to me for counseling, eventually brought her husband. She was a believer, but she was really struggling with a lot of things. And this was over a 3 or 4 year process. And her husband came, and he was not a believer. But, you know, we got along pretty well, and I think with some things were helped and that kind of thing. But eventually she had an illness, and it was a wretched illness. She just was so sick for so long, and she finally died. And her husband did the best he could by her, and we did the funeral. My last week there in Sarasota. But we had the reception at a golf course I did not know existed in Sarasota. It was so much nicer than everything else. And he wanted everybody to see it. And when we got there, he brought us, oh, do you want to see the locker rooms? And we all were, mahogany lockers and out. You could see not just the greens, but the fairways were like carpet. And he wanted to show me all this stuff. And I did the best I could to be interested. No, I did. I mean, I like golf, so I was going, can we go play? But I'd rather be out there than in here. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but and those are nice places. I'm not saying those places are bad places, but this is what his life was like. He had worked for the government and was a consultant, making buku dollars for some government agency, and it may have been secret because he wouldn't tell you about it. And then he did that, and he played golf, and that was his life. That was part of the problem with his marriage. But that's what he was living for. And he wasn't going to, you know, whether he lived 10 years or 20 years later, he wasn't far behind. And what happens when that's all you have? We live for the junk business. I read something by a man named Louis Palau. He's the kind of the guy who took over for Billy Graham. He was known as the Billy Graham of South America, but wrote a book called High Definition Life. And here's what he said about some friends of his. He said, I consider a missionary friend one of the most godly men I ever had never known. I have seen him from the inside out, but only 3 of his 6 children have a serious commitment to the Lord. The others seem nice enough, nice lifestyles, nice children of their own, nice church, nice people, but they have no fire, no power, no cutting edge. They just go along with the flow. When this man's wife was dying, she said to my wife, Pat, the great agony of our lives is to see half our children not counting for anything. It's not that they're evil. It's not that they're into sin. They are perfectly okay. They're just not counting for anything. They're just nice people floating along. Leaving a legacy, I think, means more than being nice. It means something else. For you, I could say, give you some specifics, but I think God calls us each individually in the place where we are to do what we can where we are. So what is God saying to you about being more? I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just asking what God is saying to you, and whether you're listening, whether we're all listening, whether Haynes Presbyterian Church is listening. You know, Haynes, I'm discovering as I've been reading the history of this place, and I'm still reading it, still trying to grasp all of it, and there's quite a legacy here. And you have something to be proud of in a godly way. I really believe that. On the other hand, it's your turn. It's your turn to leave a legacy. And I'm not saying you're not. Believe I'm not one of those people that's coming saying, you're doing it all wrong and you got to do this. I don't believe that. I think my job is just to help you think through it. And I hope to do that. Leaving a legacy is also about giving an abundance of mercy. You know, there are a lot of biblical verses that are kind of taken out of context. This is one of them. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Now, I have preached on this, saying, part of what it means is if you give more to the church, you'll get more. Well, not really, but you know, the context is, he talks about, don't judge. For the measure you use will be measured to you. So if you judge or a judgmental person, guess what? You'll receive the same judgment. Now, he's not talking about salvation, but that's rather sobering to me. I have caught myself more than once, well, maybe dozens of times, saying something about, so all that so-and-so, blah, 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 then realize, I just did the same thing yesterday. I remember when I was an assistant or associate pastor at a very large church, and there were some things that the senior pastor I thought was doing that wasn't really weren't right, or why did he do that? Blah, blah, you know. Then I became a senior pastor, and guess what? I found myself doing the same kind of things and getting the same kind of criticism. I didn't, but I understood. I thought. I was playing golf with a friend of mine, and as we were playing along, we missed a couple of shots. Now that happened a lot. I really like golf. I did not say I was good at it, but I do like it. And so we decided to give each other a mercy shot, which means we got a do-over. And I said to him, a little tongue-in-cheek, "Bob, I would much rather receive mercy than justice any day." So would we all. If God gave us justice, we would all be lost. That's what the cross is all about. We love to receive mercy, and here it is. We think people should forgive us. But sometimes we have a hard time forgiving others. And what the Bible says is, as you have received mercy, give mercy. And that's one of the best legacies I can think of. I'm glad you have the clock up there. I know where I'm at now. But last point, I promise. Okay. I'm glad you don't have a clock up here. That'd be. I have a joke about that, but I don't have time to tell it. But maybe another day. Leaving a legacy means leaving behind things that last. You know what's going to last? The only thing that really lasts are people. The Bible says that God's going to remake everything. Now, it talks about everything being burned up and then remade and all kinds of different things, and we could spend a long time talking about that. As a matter of fact, there are just stacks of books about it all, but nothing really lasts. Nothing lasts except who you are. And God says, thank God, he's going to give us a new body, because this old one, I tell you, I really like a new one, truthfully. But this isn't going to be here. I remember when my dad passed away. Came in and he was kind of laying there on the slab, you know. But he looked like he had left town. He wasn't there anymore. I found that to be really helpful. Dad had gone. And we go. This body doesn't last. Nothing I have on lasts. The house that you live in. But the soul, who you are, that lasts. So where should our priorities be in our relationships and other things? I'm not saying stuff isn't important. It is important. But stuff's not going to last. But that person next to you will, one way or the other. That person you may not like next to you is going to be here one way or the other. So we need to leave behind things that last. And that legacy is what we do in the lives of people. In Haines, in the world, and with ourselves. And as we think through that over the next year or so, God will tell you what to do. But I think that's part of the priority, is that what are we are going to do with the people in this community? What are we going to do with ourselves as a church and ourselves as a child of God? Thanks for listening. I think this is a great place. We're glad to be here and looking forward to being with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next on the list is the offering.